You've heard the news. Now get God's perspective with more on the topics of faith, family, and the things that matter to you. Pittsburgh's Christian Talk continues with John and Kathy on 101.5 WORD.
Those of us who love to read, you know, we get into, at least I do, I should speak for myself, I get into certain phases where I'm going to read, you know, all sorts of stuff about the Civil War, and then I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to read stuff about cooking, and then I'm going to go into what. But at the foundation of what I like to read is fiction. That's my home turf. Now, yeah. I know on the air I talk about a lot about theology or philosophy or the news or politics or whatever.
But
when I go home for comfort, I'm looking for a good story. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like that's what is at the heart of the story of the gospel we understand, is that it is the grandest tale that we've ever heard. And so to talk about writing and to talk about books and writing, how it all works together, we've invited Michelle Serre to the program. Michelle is a local author. He was born in Rome, but is a graduate of Pitt's English Writing Department. He published his first novel, Breathing God, at the age of 18, and has been serving as a public affairs specialist and journalist for the U.S. Army since 2004. He was recognized as Army Journalist of the Year for 2008, but he's here today to talk about his brand new work called Amidst Traffic, A Collection of Short Stories. Michelle, so glad
Excellent,
you're here.
Kathy and John, I've been really looking forward to coming on the show for such a long time, because I really have been listening to you guys for a couple of years, and I just love the way that you guys interview and talk with authors. Amidst Traffic is something that I've been working on for several years, ever since I was at Pitt. And one of the driving force was actually that contemporary fiction nowadays has a very strong driving force of existentialism.
Yeah.
The whole idea that essentially life is what you make of it, and really there's no meaning beyond what you make of it.
Yes.
And it's just we're kind of lonely and abandoned in this world. So Amidst Traffic is a bit of a reaction to that, saying that I believe that people are connected, and there is a greater meaning beyond just the experiences we have. And sometimes we impact strangers in ways that we don't even realize. And that's how Amidst Traffic is, with really kind of awkward, strange characters that bump into each other, remove themselves from each other's lives, and they kind of move on. And then things happen that you wouldn't normally expect. Like, for example, there's a woman who covers herself in tattoos because she has such a hard time remembering her emotions or memories. So she has this homemade tattoo gun.
It's like Memento, the movie.
A little bit like Memento. Yeah. But she has like this idea of being having a desire to be discovered. And the story progresses, and she has her own story with her husband, who they're both drug addicts. And then they end up influencing a character from a completely different story called The Staring Game, where this man begins a game of staring at strangers to see what it feels like to be God. Because, you know, we often feel very uncomfortable with the idea of being watched, and God is the watchful eye in the sky, I guess. And he takes on this experiment, and what he discovers is that people don't like it. You know, they don't like being judged by a complete stranger. And so all these stories kind of come together, and ultimately there's a driving force, theological themes that come up again and again, and makes you question through different layers, you know, why are we on this earth? Who is God? And what does that mean? If God is sovereign, are we free? So there's just different battling emotions.
Okay, so tell us how you got from being Army Journalist of the Year in 2008, which I would assume is a pretty black and white, tell the story as it is
as
type
an Army
of position,
journalist.
Right, than writing a collection of short stories.
Right, so as a journalist, really I think what helped me with winning the title of Army Journalist of the Year for 2008 was a desire to tell a human story. Even though I have a responsibility to tell the American public and the soldiers about the things that were happening in Iraq when I deployed in 2008, I wasn't satisfied by telling a story about uniforms. I wanted to tell a story about the soldiers inside those uniforms and how we interacted with the Iraqi people, the sacrifices that soldiers made. So I always took a very personal approach to all the soldiers. I never put myself in the story, but I always made sure to get to know the subject very personally so that I could give him, you know, do him justice and be his voice to the public.
Hmm. So Army Journalist of the Year, is that the kind of thing where you are writing throughout the year, and so at the end of the calendar, the Army looks and decides, okay, well, this particular piece is worthy of some kind of acknowledgement?
So, yeah, it was actually a portfolio. I had to submit something like 6 to 7 pieces on various categories, from sports to commentary to, you know, straight news to feature stories. And then all the soldiers who competed on that year and submitted their portfolio, the judge panels, which came from different backgrounds, selected the journalists that they thought deserved the title about the most.
So what touched you about being in Iraq?
Several things. One soldier in particular that I always remember, who inspired one of the stories in the book, his name was Michael Kim, and he had been out of service from the military for several years. And he decided to reenlist for 1 year just so he could go to Iraq and work for the Humanitarian Service Department of the Army, the Civil Affairs. And what he did is he dedicated a whole year of his life. He didn't have to. Nobody asked him to. Raising money and promoting democratic efforts in Iraq. One story in particular, that he took a personal effort to raise $10,000 for a little girl who had a congenital heart disease. Hmm. And this was a primal opportunity. I thought I saw that kind of put two countries and two cultures together, where they showed that, you know, the Americans were there to help the Iraqi people, and the Iraqi people saw that out of a genuine effort, and selfless effort of a soldier.
Interesting. Yeah. Let me just join us. We're speaking with Michel Surratt. His work of short stories is called Amidst Traffic, and information about that, of course, on our Facebook page, The John and Kathy Show on Word FM. Michel, you talked about being in Iraq in 2008, and I know in reading about you, you've been a Christian now for about 6 years.
Right.
Talk to us about that faith journey. When you're in Iraq, you're obviously a Christian. How did you find the Lord? What was that story about?
Well, I became a Christian before going to Iraq, fortunately. I was actually born in Italy, born in Rome, Italy, and my dad used to work for the Vatican City, so I grew up Roman Catholic, but then I led a pretty rebellious life in high school. And it wasn't until my college time when I was kind of grappling with ideas of God and literature and some of the things I was studying at Pitt, that I came across a guy by the name of James, and we were working together making pizzas. And as we were making pizzas, we were talking about theology, and we constantly questioned my thoughts, my beliefs. And oftentimes I'd try and make excuses, and kind of always generally and with a heartful desire to bring me to the Lord, kept questioning me so that I could stand up and really make a final decision on that. So it was a process that maybe took several months, and then progressed, and I got married to my wife. It was funny. December 2007, I got married, and then 3 months later, in February 2008, I deployed. So I was married for 3 months when I deployed to Iraq for a year. So the first year of my married life was away from Heather. And you know, a lot of soldiers say that really you don't connect when you deploy. You don't connect with anybody nearly as well as you did with the soldiers you deploy with, which I can understand, and I can sympathize with that sentiment. But honestly, when I became a member of our church, which is a small Reformed church in Dormont, I felt like there was no other place in the world that I felt like I could communicate with people than with other Christians. Mm-hmm. It felt like we spoke the same language. We really saw eye to eye. And but, you know, like every Christian's progression through life, we kind of, at some point, we kind of put up walls and we remove everybody else who's not a Christian from our lives. And then I realized that wasn't a fruitful way to approach strangers. Sure. And that's, I think, what drives some of the themes in the book, is that it's intended to take an honest look at our faithful struggles about our beliefs, our convictions, and have the stories be universal to both the Christian and the atheist, so that both people can come to the same story and be honest about the fears that we have, because there's fears that we face in our faith. And I think that's one important thing about...
And there are fears that are human.
Exactly.
That are not specific human to someone who's a believer or an unbeliever. They're human. And so we have a connection with people who are people, not
exactly
people who believe in Jesus or don't believe in
right
Jesus.
There's no litmus test
right
first.
It's not like there's a litmus test. So those conversations should always be happening.
Yeah, and while I was writing stories, and I went from an art degree to eventually writing a degree at Pitt, and then I kind of questioned myself. It's like, is writing fiction biblical? Is it okay? Am I serving God through this? And it was a struggle, moral struggle, because essentially you invest yourself in creating lies and making them very realistic, right? And I fought back and forth with that idea, and I came to realize that when you write theology, you write science, you write mathematics, you're appealing to the mind. When you write fiction, art, you appeal to the heart, you appeal to the emotion of the man. And again, just like God's grace also is paired with the law, there's this fluid balance that keeps going on.
Yeah, one kind of needs the other to be complete.
Exactly, exactly. And also, I think one of the early examples of storytelling that appealed to the heart was in 2 Samuel, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Nathan didn't go to him and say, "What does the Ten Commandments say about what you did?" No, he gave him a story about a rich man.
Yeah, let me tell you a story, right?
Yeah, he gave him a story about a rich man and a poor man, and the rich man stole the poor man's baby sheep, ewe lamb. And David's like, "How dare that man?" And then you realize, well, wait a minute, that's me. So I think fiction, when we write it with a desire to include theological Christian themes, can really appeal to the heart. And I think can serve a purpose beyond just entertainment.
Michael Saray is with us. The new book is called Amidst Traffic. It's a collection of short stories.
Michelle, our last guest, Devin Arrington, mm-hmm. who is a violinist, he was talking about the nature of the artist and being isolated from the world.
Right.
What about your own self as you write? It's got to be a lonely process.
Oh, my goodness. Writing is so lonely. It's almost pathetic, because you have to seclude yourself. You don't want noise. It depends on the person's personality. I don't typically listen to music when I write, so it's like a quiet room, just me and the screen, a ton of coffee, and then you have to go back in the world and kind of promote the work. And it's just it is a challenge whenever you write. The funny thing is, somebody said that fiction authors are not one person. They're like a
conglomeration of all the characters, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you're like, you're inventing all these characters, and sometimes it's a little scary, because like you're insane. You almost think you're insane. You're like secluding yourself in a room, and all these thoughts and all these story ideas come to you.
It's scary,
like,
for your wife.
Scary, yeah. No kidding. And then the funny thing is that there's a lot of characters in Amidst Traffic who hear voices, and I've never heard voices. Trust me.
Relatively sane at this point.
But the idea of stories coming to me and writing them is kind of an inspiration process, and you kind of question yourself, where do these story ideas come from?
Well, because they almost seem like the stories come to you. It's almost like the characters present themselves to you.
Yes, they do. And the other challenge, which you have to be careful as an author, is that you do play God mm-hmm. in writing fiction. You play God over the characters you create.
Yeah.
And it's, again, that tension between, all right, if the author's in charge, then why are all these characters saying and doing things that I never imagined up until that point? So I think writing fiction, when you do it with an honest passion, kind of makes you reflect theologically about your life, about God, and it makes you interact with people you normally wouldn't consider. Yeah. It does make you a little bit more human, because you place your readers in the shoes of somebody they don't know, somebody you invented with a specific struggle that person might never consider before.
Well, that's interesting. Michelle Surratt is with us. We're talking about his collection of short stories. The new book is called Amidst Traffic. More information on our Facebook page, The John and Kathy Show on Word FM. So, Michelle, do you read for pleasure? Is that possible now? Or is it always when you're reading with such a critical eye that you're taking apart, dissecting, for your own use later on?
There was, excuse me, there was actually a good year and a year and a half process where I didn't pick up anything to read, because I couldn't enjoy fiction anymore. It was actually during the time when I became more convicted in my Christian faith, and I came across all these really beautifully written works, but then depictions and scenes that were not appropriate for me to indulge in made it very difficult. And on the opposite spectrum, then I would say, all right, well, I'll just pick up some Christian fiction.
And then
sometimes it's not very well written.
Right.
And so what about that? Talk to that. Because Kath and I will talk about books we've read, mm-hmm. movies we've seen, and people will say, why would you do that?
That's not a Christian book. Why are you reading
Why would you allow that into your... So speak to us about what you read and how you disseminate what's good and right for you to read, and how that works in your life.
Yeah, my favorite subject to read is actually... My favorite genre is contemporary literary fiction, because I think that's what puts the character first. There's mm-hmm. plot-driven and character-driven fiction. I love character-driven fiction because I love studying people, watching people, interacting with them, interviewing them. So I tried. I've had to pick up several books and then put them down because I simply couldn't go on because I was placed in a moment of compromise. But I recently read a short story collection that was phenomenal by a former Pitt grad, now living in Chicago, Eugene Cross. Not a Christian author, not a Christian fiction, but and it was all the stories were about loneliness. And loneliness, again, it's a human conflict that we all deal with from time to time. So I can identify with the characters. So you can ask friends and family and for suggestions of contemporary literature that you can enjoy and still not put yourself in a compromised situation, or just read reviews and just get a sense of it. And if I love reading short stories, and the best part about it, if the story's not jiving, you can kind of skip it and go on to the next one. Mm-hmm. With this collection, though, the stories do interconnect, like I mentioned earlier. So as you read them, you begin, and each story kind of feels kind of chaotic and random.
Disconnected,
very disconnected. And I think it's that same idea that we often feel disconnected from people until we take the time to learn who they are, and then this great connection comes towards the final half of the book, which I think is pretty fantastic.
Excellent. Michel Serrault is with us. His work is called Amidst Traffic. It is a collection of short stories. Michel, talk to us about the nature of self-publishing. Now, in the old days, right, people who would self-publish, it was generally a vanity press, right?
Mm-hmm.
That someone
definitely
put together, 100 books and sold them from the trunk of their car. Now, because of the internet and because of where we are technologically, that's changed the perception, hasn't it?
It has. It's opened up the door to a lot more authors, which makes it more difficult for obviously all these readers to figure out what's good out there because there's such a huge influx of new published authors. But I think that at one point we had several layers of gatekeepers. We had the agents and we had the publishers, and only once you can get to through the publishers and their
minions
and sales staff, because they ultimately they're there to make a buck, which is
sure.
Nothing wrong with that, but that's what they're doing. Only then could you reach the audience. But now there's these opportunities that never existed before, and oftentimes people dismiss even now self-published authors. But just recently, there was a self-published author of the book called Wool, which is science fiction. I never read it, but I kind of follow his story. And he sold so many copies on his own, self-published, that he got picked up
really?
By a major publishing mm-hmm. house. And he did not only that, but he did a paper print-only deal where he retained all the rights for the digital copy, and he sold only the rights to the print.
Fantastic.
So the power shift in publishing is changing slightly. We're not there yet, I think, but it's allowing authors who are talented the ability to work hard, promote themselves, and reach the audience directly.
And so that requires you, as the artist, the creator, to also switch hats and
so
become,
hats.
Right, the publisher.
You're the blogger, you're the self-promoter, you're the agent. Fortunately, actually, my sister, Marta, has been working really to promote my book. And not only that, but she's hosting a Pittsburgh Author Symposium May 4th, which is sponsored by Brewsters of Ingomar. And we're going to have several Pittsburgh authors come together, talk about their work, and let people know about their books, sign copies and sell copies. That's May 4th, Pittsburgh Author Symposium. But as an author, all of a sudden you have to do all these other additional tasks that don't come normally to you.
Right.
You know, the benefit of being published traditionally is that you write, everybody else does
the
promotion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can keep writing. Unfortunately, once you publish a book self-published, you can't really go back to writing because you're spending so much time promoting
right.
what you just wrote, which is difficult, but it teaches you skills that are really valuable, I think.
And so as you have put the bed, so to speak, amidst traffic, you're working now on new things?
Yeah, I've been working on a novel called Jump, which is alludes a little bit to The Pilgrim's Progress. It's a story about a young man who grows up in a fundamentalist Christian household, and he grows up and is kind of inundated with all these denominations, Christian denominations, where it becomes so overpowering and overwhelming that he almost abandons Christianity, but he goes on a journey to figure out what is, quote-unquote, the right Christianity, which is going to be a humbling process because I don't quite know the answer to that yet.
That's what's cool about the process, though.
It is.
You don't have to know the answer. You're working it out as
exactly.
you're going along.
It's a great process.
I love that. Well, Michelle, you've done a wonderful job.
Thank you.
It's your own photography.
Yes.
And the book cover.
I'm actually the guy with the headless guy in the suit walking down Banksville Road.
It's very cool.
Thank you.
So the presentation is great. The writing is great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's really great to meet you face to face.
Fantastic.
Thanks for
my
coming.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
It's our great pleasure. Michelle Surratt, Admits Traffic, a collection of short stories. Check it out online, our Facebook page, The John and Kathy Show on Word FM. We'll post information about Michelle Surratt there. Be right back.